And as I pull the lectern over here into the middle, as Larry always did, I left behind, for those of you who know me, I always have an iced tea, no matter where I go. And Linda, I'm sometimes when I leave church every Sunday morning, I will forget my iced tea, and it's sitting in the kitchen. And I'll either come back, or Linda will come running down the hall, "Jim, your iced tea." But as I see that lonely iced tea sitting on the stool, I had a thought that maybe when I'm dead and gone and at my visitation, instead of a casket, we ought to just have a stool with a glass of iced tea. And as you file by the iced tea, you can remember me. I don't know how I'm going to convert that into my message, which is on hope. I hope that doesn't happen soon. How about that? But my message, with the new year coming up, I thought about the concept of hope, and somehow the song from back in the 80s, early 90s came to mind, which is "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." And I thought, looking for hope in all the wrong places sometimes can be an issue. And I thought, what a great topic to start the new year, because we're always hopeful of what the new year will bring. But I thought, what is hope? What is the concept of hope? So this morning, I want to talk about hope. There's biblical hope, and there's worldly or secular hope. And I hope I can make myself clear about the differences between the two. Hope is universal, but it's personal to each one of us. And it ties with faith oftentimes more than we want to imagine. Faith and hope and love and rejoice and everything else that we as Christians follow, hope is an integral foundation of everything. So if you had to define hope, how would you do it? Is it a belief? Is it faith? Or is it some wishy-washy kind of unsure optimism you have about something coming up for the future? I think the world that we live in today, their idea of hope is to, quote, wish for or to expect without certainty and really no assurance of getting what we desire. We hope it happens, but we're not really sure it's going to happen. That's a worldly or a secular view of hope. For those that are graduating from school or college or a trade school, they say, "I hope I get a good job. I hope in my future life that I have a nice car and live in a nice house." And we could go on with hope for each of the 50 or 60 that are here this morning. Each one of us could add a sentence, "I hope, I hope, I hope for the new year. I hope for this, I hope for that." And you look to the future and you hope things happen. But I think the definition stresses two components, no matter what your hopes might be. And that is, it's something in the future, but it's also invisible. We don't know yet whether it's going to happen. It's not here. It deals with things we can't see or haven't received, or both. So let's talk for a moment about the differences between the two. What is worldly hope or secular hope? Well, worldly hope puts all its trust in the here and now. Our worldly hope is between the lines of our birth and our death. Some hope for pleasure. Some hope for material things. Some hope for drugs to change the way they feel inside, which oftentimes is very empty. They cannot trust anything they cannot touch or see, which is our faith. To the world, to put any trust or hope into something you can't have right now or anything you can't see is foolishness to them. The world has a saying, "Hope springs eternal." Yet it is only Christians that have been blessed with eternal hope that extends well beyond the issues of life and death. To one, it is a masked hope. Get all you can right now and at all costs, because there is no more. You've got to get it now. They don't have any problem hurting others and destroying other folks, because it's a law of the jungle for them. Hurt before somebody hurts you. Is it any wonder in some parts of our community and our world that they have lost hope? Those individuals that put their hope in people, and people will inevitably let each and every one of us down. Or they put their hope in material things that no longer satisfy them. They need more and more and more. They have put their hope in pleasure, and the pleasures are never enough. The world struggles in a collective faith. They've lost hope. They are searching for answers in all the wrong places. But to a believer, hope takes on a whole new meaning. To the world, hope in Christ is foolishness. To the world so oblivious to the real hope Christ offers, they shrug their shoulders at the things of God, and they continue down their dangerous path. To the believers, it begins in the words of the young prophet Jeremiah. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Plans to give you hope and a future. Following Christ is not easy. There will be trials, tribulations, and troubles. But His believers also know that God takes care of His people. That it is not by coincidence that things happen in our lives. That God is there. There is a reason. We may not see it, but there is a reason. God has a plan and He has a purpose for us, and it is a good one. In Romans 15, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope." So as we look this week to our new year, and as they sang, and Tom, if you would go back just one slide for me, go backwards one. It had, "All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. Oh, I've been washed by the blood." As the Apostle Paul said, "For everything that was written in the past, the Scripture tells us we might have hope." God offers hope through His written word, through the encouragement of other believers, and the faithfulness of God's promises coming true, whether we can see them at the immediate moment or not. That is an eternal hope. Written in the book of Romans between the chapters is God helping the weak and the Lord telling us to be patient with those that do not have faith in the hope that we have. In Romans 15, he continues, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Which is really powerful, simple but powerful. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Any hope we as Christians has comes from God. Godly hope cannot be conjured up by any human effort. Faith and hope, like the Christmas gifts we've just received, are a gift from God. In Romans 8, it says, "For it is hope that we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." And I use as an illustration, and it ties into the scripture that Roger read, which was the Apostle Paul was in jail and he was being tried, and the governor came down for the trial, and they brought in a special prosecutor to prosecute him. And they read off the charges against him, the special prosecutor with the governor sitting as the judge. And as part of his charging, the prosecutor said, "For we have found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots and among all the Jews throughout the world. And he's a ringleader, not of SEX, but SECT, sect of Nazarenes." Make sure you got that right in our scripture reading. A little more sexy if it was the sex of the Nazarenes. But he even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. And they go on with the accusations against Paul, and he's sitting there as a defendant, and they give him an opportunity to speak. And that's what Roger said as he read the scripture. Paul rose up and simply said, to some of those charges, there is no evidence because there is none. I have not done some of the things they have said. Neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me. But then he says, in front of everyone who's making these accusations, that he's a follower of Christ. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God. That's what this new year provides for us, that opportunity to be Paul and to say, yesterday's gone, but I always have hope. If my earthly things don't happen, if I hope for a new car, if I hope for a new this, or I hope for a new that, and it doesn't happen, the material things of our life, it doesn't happen because we have an eternal hope that God has given us that gift. That is what hope does for our future. How do you know it's going to happen in your future? Because you have hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus makes us realize that one day this will be gone. But there is so much more for believers of God. God hopes the changes that we see in our lives will include Him. Godly hope changes what we value. Godly hope changes what you do in your life. Where are you putting your time? Where will you put your talents this next year? Where will you share your treasures? For when you do that, your heart will be there also. In closing, hope motivates us to keep going. Without hope, we don't want to do anything. It's an emptiness. Do you have hope? Are you willing to do something with it in this new year? I end with an illustration, which is a letter an elderly member of a church wrote to his pastor. And he had been diagnosed with cancer, and they had tried all the treatments, and treatments hadn't worked, and he had maybe a week or two to live. So he wrote this letter to his pastor. He said, "Pastor, next Sunday I saw you are to talk about heaven. I am interested in that land because I've held clear title to a bit of property there for more than 55 years. I didn't buy it. It was given to me without money and without price. But the donor purchased it for me at a tremendous sacrifice. I am not holding it for speculation since the title is not transferable. It is not a vacant lot. For more than a half a century, I have been sending materials out of which the greatest architect and builder of the universe has built a home for me, which will never need to be repaired or remodeled, because it suits me perfectly, individually, and it will never grow old. Termites can never undermine its foundation, for they rest on the Rock of Ages. Fire cannot destroy it. Floods cannot wash it away. No locks or bolts will ever be placed upon its doors, for no vicious person can ever enter that land where my dwelling stands. It is now almost completed and ready for me to enter in and abide in peace eternally without fear of ever being rejected. My ticket to heaven has no date marked for the journey, no return coupon, and no permit for baggage. But I am all ready to go, and I may not be there next Sunday for your sermon, but I shall meet you there someday. There is no greater love than the love of Christ for each and every one of us.
For those of you who might be here that are frightened about something, put your hope in Christ. If you're in crisis and need help, put your hope in Christ. Health issues, turn it over to Him. Are you lonely? Let Him be there with you. Do you feel like He couldn't forgive you? He does, and He will. There is hope in Jesus Christ. Someone once said, life with Christ is an everlasting hope. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. As we enter this new year, this coming week, let Christ be with you and give you eternal hope. Amen. Closing prayer. Our Father, we thank You for the opportunity to share Your word, Your lessons, and that You are here with us, that we can celebrate together as disciples. And guide, direct, and give us the courage and the strength to enter this new year and be Your face in the communities in which You work. Because it's through our hands, our hearts, and our minds that we do Your work. Amen.